Good morning. Bill, I thank you for the introduction. I guess in the paraphrased words of Val Kilmer from the movie Tombstone, I'm your truffle. Is that what he said? No, actually, the way it worked about 2 weeks ago, I got a call from Earl, and Earl said the shepherds had had a meeting, and Shane Hines, our regular preacher, wasn't going to be able to be here today, and so they were looking for someone irregular to take his place, and my name came to mind, so here I am today. I will warn you, hopefully my comments will be brief this morning, but Satan really doesn't want you to hear what I've got to say. So if that be the case, tune me out, but I hope you will listen for just a few minutes. The thing that I've found in my 51 years is that being a Christian is probably the most frustrating part of my life. Because just when I think I've got it all figured out, wrong. There's so much more to know, to learn, to do. And that's the struggle that I have and each of us have each and every day. You know, here at Highland Hills, and it's in your bulletin, or actually top and bottom of the front page, we have a mission statement that says loving God, sharing Christ, serving others, transforming lives. And that's a wonderful mission statement. I think it's just grand. That's just, it's concise, it's to the point. We can all understand it, we can all follow it. But, you know, I'm like, I guess all of y'all, at least I hope I am, and that I kind of use it as a checklist sometimes. And I go through and I say, loving God, yep, check, done that, been there, got the t-shirt. Sharing Christ, yeah. Kind of. Serving others, well, they're starting to step on toes now. And transforming lives, well, nobody can really look at me and tell if my life's been transformed or not, so I'll check that one whether it is or not. But really, I guess in the back of my mind, I say this mission statement is for the benefit of visitors and folks who aren't a part of us, so it all pertains to them. It doesn't really pertain to me. Wrong. It does pertain to me on a daily basis. So what do I have to offer? As a Christian, what do I have to offer to God or to my service to others or to my service in helping to transform lives or loving Christ or sharing Christ? Well, I got to thinking, what all is it that I do have? I remember one thing we've got. We've got a gravy bowl at home. Do you all have gravy bowls? Other than Thanksgiving and Christmas, do you ever use it? Most useless piece of whatever, pottery, china, ever invented by man is a gravy bowl. I love it when it's full with the stuff that's supposed to be in it, and I get to empty it out on something that's supposed to go on. But for the most part, those gravy bowls just sit there and gather dust day in and day out. So what do I have that gets used? Well, I'll tell you about one. Back the first of this year, for the first time in probably 30 years, and this is tragic, but it gets better, I found myself chainsawless. I had no chainsaw. June 11th of this year was our anniversary. It was a weekday. I got up, got ready for work, and as I walked out the door into the garage to get in my truck to go to work, there sat in front of that door a chainsaw with a card from my wife. Fellas, this was not just an ordinary chainsaw. It's a Husqvarna 371 with a 20-inch bar, self-lubricating chain. It's even got the what we would call a sissy button, so if you can't pull against all that compression, you can punch it in. Never gets used, but it's there if I need it. And I know what you guys are thinking. Howard, that woman loves you. One of the most frustrating days of my life because I had to leave that chainsaw at home and go to work, and all day all I could think of was, what can I cut when I get home? And I did. Matter of fact, I even brought it to the church, and you'll notice the trees don't have any lower limbs over here on this field. That chainsaw works just fine. That's something that I have to offer that I use. But you know, we all have things, be it a gravy bowl or a chainsaw, whether it be our faith or our non-faith, that we can put to use, but so many times it just sits on the shelf, attracting dust. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8 says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, individually members one of the other. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us is to exercise them, to use them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." But back there in verse 6, since we have gifts, each of us, that differ according to the grace given to us. That doesn't say according to the grace that might have given to you. It says you have gifts. Then let each of us exercise them accordingly. You know, a problem I think we have is, as Christians, we think if we come to church and bring a check, we've done what is our obligation. But if that's the case, then going to the grocery store is a religious experience, because that's all that's required to go to the grocery store. Just show up and bring a check. We as Christians need to exercise the gifts that have been given to us. Now, where does this play in with Highland Hills or individually? First of the year, the elders put together a group called the working group. First, they went to the church here as a whole and said, "Church, where do you think we are now and where do we need to be?" And the working group of 12 people, as we started out, got together every Wednesday night for about 8 months. And at the end, we put together this book that Earl read from about 2 weeks ago. What was it, Bob? 78, 83 pages long. There was a lot of work went into that book, not just by the working group, but by you as well. As many of you prayed for us, not only filled out the questionnaire that we sent out, but prayed for us. And the working group went to task. And it was amazing what we saw with the replies that you had given in your in these questionnaires that you had turned in. All of you believe that this congregation needs to be involved in missions. That needs to be a priority of this congregation. And most of y'all said yes, and we also need to do it right here locally too, because we've got a lot of people that need to hear the Word of God. And I commend you for that. One of the things I put down in the questionnaire that I filled out. Well, now it's time to do something about it. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do that by you utilizing the gifts that God has given you to put that plan of action into action. Now, that plan of action, that 8 months that the working group spent, see, I know this is going to be God's work, because as we met, we had problems. We had problems in the working group. Whoa. No, it wasn't all peaches and cream and rosy every Wednesday night for the hour, 2 hours, 3 hours that we met. One night I can remember that Al with his Army stuff and Lance with his Air Force stuff had to get me down on the floor and just threaten me with it. No, I'm just kidding. But we had some disagreements. Troy Davis can sense, Troy's back here in the back, he can sympathize with me. One night, Sue Ellen gave me one of those looks that only she can give, that Troy, it'll kill, won't it? And then she said the words I hated to hear. She said, "I'm going to tell Carol Ann." And I thought, I'm in trouble. But I rejoice over the problems we had. Why? Because there was someone who opposed us as a working group, putting together a plan of action. And that being was Satan. He didn't want the working group to come up with a plan of action. He wanted us to fail. And so as we had our problems, I knew we were doing the right thing. Satan was trying to itch his way into what we were doing. make us split, make us disagree, make us have problems, make us fail. But because of your prayers, the guidance of the elders, and the perseverance of the people on that committee, we've got a plan of action. Now, church, it's time to go to work. So where will you fit in this plan of action? I want to read now from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Well, I'll read it right here. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Don't doubt yourself. We pray diligently. All the Scripture, we go according to the Scripture of God, is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So what are we to do? What is your mission? Now, one of the greatest examples, and I've shared this with our Bible class before, when we were in Smithville, Carol Ann and I lived out in the country, as we do now, and we had to take our own garbage to this little collection place. And on Saturdays, I don't clean up much. I do a lot of yard work and what have you, and if you saw me, I'm about as common as they come. And one Saturday, I'd taken our garbage off to the collection area, and I had my straw hat on because I've been out weed eating, and short pants, and I was a mess. And I showed up at that collection area for garbage, and there was this older lady over there on the other side of the dump, and she didn't look like she was moving, so I pulled in on the short side, got all of our garbage out, threw it in, and before I could leave, she yelled, "Young man." Great, I'm young. I looked up and I said, "Yes, ma'am," and she said, "Would you care to take this and read it?" And she had this little tract, and I opened it, and it was from Abilene Christian College. And I said, "Boy, this is great." I said, "I appreciate you giving me this." And she looked, and she said, "Howard?" I said, "Yes, ma'am," because we went to church together. She said, "I'm so sorry. I didn't recognize who you were." And I said, "Well, don't worry about it. You've just been a great encouragement to me by what you've just done." And she said, "Well," she said, "I just know that all of us need to do something." And she said, "I live way out towards Keltenburg, and as you know, there's not many folks out there. The only time I really get out is to come to the store and come to take the garbage once a week. And I don't have much money. I live on a fixed income. But I can't afford to buy 15 of these tracts once a month at 15 cents apiece from Abilene Christian. And they send them to me, and I either give them out at the grocery store or I stay around here at the dump and give them to people as they come through." And I thought, good gracious. Here I am wondering what I can do. And this little lady, she had to have been at least 85 years old, can't get out but twice a week. And she was fulfilling her mission. There was nothing that was going to stand in her way. And I thought, there is faith at work. And I see it here in our congregation. And I'm fixing to name some people in our congregation. For those of y'all that are visiting, just soak it up, because I want you to know what good folks we have here. And I'm going to try not to mention any of our elders or any of our Bible teachers or anyone else. But I just want to give you some examples of what people can do in their mission for God. They're not just showing up and bringing a check. One that we all know is B. Jackson. Graydon, my son, oldest son, is here today. I'm tickled to death. He's coming to hear Dad. I hope he's not too embarrassed. He's in seminary, so I mean, he's going to really do the real thing preaching-wise. But he told me, he said, "I'd like to see Miss Beatrice." And I said, "You would? Why is that, Graydon?" He said, they had a tragic loss, Graydon and my daughter-in-law. They lost their infant son back in January. And he said, "Dad, do you know that that lady, about every 2 to 3 weeks, has been diligent to send Sabrina, my wife, a note with a poem written for her?" He said, "Dad, you know how much that's meant to her to get over this time?" That's somebody who says, "I'm going to work for the Lord." What about Connie Holder? How many of y'all have been out here in the hallway or the foyer getting ready for church and had Connie come up and say good morning to you? Because Connie doesn't just smile from here to here. It goes from here to here. She is so tickled to see you. It is genuine. And she doesn't just shake your hand, she hugs you. It makes me feel so good, I don't know what to do. That's Connie's mission for God. What about Mary Miller? How many of y'all been here on a Wednesday night when we have prayer requests? What's one hand that you always know is going to go up? Mary Miller. That woman believes in prayer. And she's not willing to share her, she's not worried about sharing her needs with anyone. And then watch her come in on a Sunday morning with those children and grandchildren. You think she's not doing a work for the Lord? Mary lives the life. What about Doris Broderick? I came in this morning, there she was, apron on. The Lord's Supper doesn't just show up on these tables, folks. That's Doris Broderick, comes in every Sunday morning. We about had a tragedy about 2 months ago. She was out, and Tommy will tell you, it just about, Tommy, you got it ready right as the Sunday school started, right? I mean, how does she do it? We don't know, but that's her service to God. What about Jeanette Easley? This morning, when I wrote these names down, I said, I know I'm going to jinx someone, but nope, there was Jeanette. Graydon was right here in the front, and I was getting ready for the Bible class, and she comes in and reminds me of my grandmother. She's just shaking. She's so happy to see me and wanted to hug my neck. It made me feel so good, and I know she does the same to my wife. That's her mission for God. What about Ed McAnally? Ed's not with us this morning. I love it when Ed comes to the Bible class because Ed is so well-versed in the Bible. And Ed can say one or two words that does more to encourage me than possibly anyone because I know he knows what he's talking about. And Ed's going to study harder than I am, and I better be careful because if I'm not, Ed's going to catch me. That's Ed's mission. What about Tim and Julia Harrison? It's either Tim or Troy back here working the operations on the computer every Sunday morning. Tim and Julia came into the church, and this year the Magi box is a no-brainer, isn't it, the elders? I mean, it's just turn it over to Tim and Julia. It gets done. You don't have to worry about it. What about Charlie Smith? And I didn't know Charlie was going to do communion this morning. I pray that I can have one half the passion that Charlie does about the things that I do for the Lord. Charlie is the most passionate man I know. There's nothing fake about what Charlie says or does. You know, he came up to me this morning between Bible class and we started the worship service. And he said someone had said something to him about me preaching. And Charlie said, truer words have never been spoken. He said, you know, we all preach. We do. We all preach by the way we live our lives. What about Mark Osborne? Y'all realize how much gets done around the physical plant here at the church that we don't have to pay for because Mark does it? This morning he was back when I showed up this morning at 8:15 working on the church building and he's been down on his back for 2 weeks. But Mark still hits at it. That's Mark's mission for the Lord. What about Annie Osborne and Margie Riggins, my favorite donut hostesses? And can't think of there ever being a Christmas parade without Annie and Margie. That's just the way it's going to be. What about Gene and Anna Sanders? If y'all haven't had an opportunity to be in a small group with them, my goodness, you've never known a couple that's just going to open their hearts to you and just make you feel like part of their family. Troy Davis, I've mentioned. What about Carrie Baxter? If there's anyone here in our congregation that has the excuses to say, physically, I'm not able, it's Carrie. You'll never hear that from Carrie Baxter. I remember the day that we redid the surface back here on the playground. And Joe Height came. There's another one. Joe comes, and Joe's got two purposes that day. The skid loader and taking care of his new daughter. So Joe took care of his new daughter while Carrie ran the skid loader. No, no. Other way around. Other way around. That's the mission. What about Becky Jackson? If you've shown up to church here two times, I guarantee you Becky Jackson has prayed for you. That's a mission. And one that I am going to mention, Alan Gale Rogers, because this one meant so much to me and got me involved in something that I never even considered. The day that we redid the playground back here, the surface, Alan Gale were there. Al had his lawnmower out here, and he and Gail were going to mow the churchyard after we got through redoing the surface. And I thought, well, boy, that's going to be a full day for him. And we had enough folks to do all that. So I thought, you know, Al, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump on your lawnmower, and I can mow part of the yard while you're getting the surface. And Al said, yeah, go right ahead, Howard. Knock yourself out. So I mowed the yard, got through with it. As a matter of fact, by the time, about the same time the other guys finished with redoing the surface to the playground. And I got to asking Al and Gail, I said, do y'all do this every week? And Al said, yes. And I said, wow, why is that? And Al said, well, I was talking to the elders, and he said, we can save $300 a month if one of the members will mow the yard. Well, that's $3,600 a year, folks. That's a lot of money that can be going to missions, to educational materials, to the kids going someplace. And so they started mowing the yard. And it looks great this morning. Did another great job. And I thought, well, Al, you don't need to do that every week. And I'm not saying this to be self-serving, but I said, why don't we swap it up? You do it 1 week, and I'll do it the next week. So for the last 3 months, we've been swapping up weekends who mows the churchyard. And you thought, boy, churchyard a mission. Right. Yeah, right. I'm 52 years old. I'll be 52 in January. I've done a lot of different things involved with the church. I've been to New Orleans on a mission trip, first time in my life, last October, and then again this March. Had some good success, some good encouragement, but I've never had anything work for the Lord like mowing the churchyard. In the 3 months that I've been swapping up with Al, I can name you 5 times that I have people that have approached me the following week and said, Howard, did I see you mowing the churchyard? And I said, yes. And they said, why? And I tell them, I said, well, it's kind of a money-saving endeavor by some of the members. We're swapping it up, and that way we've got the resources to use for something else. And they said, boy, you know, that's pretty neat. What else do y'all believe at Highland Hills? From mowing the yard, folks. 5 times I've been able to witness to folks about Jesus Christ. And that's just in 3 months. Seek your opportunities to serve. Jesus Christ is all about actions. Now, I left off the preachers and the teachers purposefully in that, because they're the one that get all the notoriety, and they're the no-brainers and the easy ones to see. But I hope I've given you examples of other people. The one I skipped over here was Wes and April. Did you realize that even before they joined the congregation, I put that join in quotation, April was already working in the nursery. And the day that we met to redo the ground cover out here on the playground, Mark delivered us that back track, that mini track to flip out the stump. Well, Wes could have probably flipped them out by himself. You know, he's kind of a big guy, but he used a mini track and was right in there with us. Never missed a beat. People seeking ways to serve God. But let me, if you're sitting there saying, well, what can I do to take a part in the action, in the plan of action of Highland Hills Church of Christ? Well, let me show you. This is a legal pad. And this is simple. What you do is you simply draw a line right down the middle of that legal pad. And I'm going to put an S on this side and a W on this side. And this will be for strengths, and this will be for weaknesses. And sit down and list your personal strengths and weaknesses. And I would suggest what worked for me was don't try to do it all at one sitting. Make a little bit of the list and get up and do something else for a while and come back to it. It may take you a couple of days, even a couple of weeks. And then once you are satisfied that you've got the list of strengths and weaknesses, your personal strengths and weaknesses in order, what you do is you take that sheet or two and tear it off and wad it up and throw it away. And then you make you another one. And right down the middle, draw a line, strengths, weaknesses. And on the strength side, just write the word prayer. And on the weakness side, simply write my faith. And then turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. And if you can't remember the verse, just remember that's the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. And it's towards the end of the chapter. It won't hurt you to read the whole chapter. And in Hebrews 13, 20 and 21, we read, now, and this is a prayer that the author of Hebrews was writing to those who read. And this is the prayer you need to pray. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. If you can recognize this as being your total strength and weakness, I've got the power of prayer. We've all got that. You've got to have that on there. You've got it if you don't realize it. And your only weakness is your lack of faith. And pray the prayer here at Hebrews chapter 13. Father, equip me in every good thing to do your will. And what you'll find is you don't have enough paper to write down the strengths that you've got. And in time, my faith, instead of being a weakness, also becomes a strength. This morning, and as a preamble to the message, we had the command of God that I leave with you this morning from Matthew chapter 28. And this is Jesus. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." All authority is with Jesus Christ. Do not doubt that. And He says to you and to me and to this congregation and to every Christian alive today, you go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, if you will do this, I am with you through eternity. That's the command that we each need to take to heart today. The days ahead, the years ahead, and the plan of action that we've come up with for this congregation, when I say we, I mean all of us, oh, we haven't seen anything yet. Thank you for your time.